Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you're listening by computer, we welcome you. If you're listening in Madison, we welcome you today. If you're listening in South Georgia, driving down the interstate, keep your hands on the wheel, your eyes on that road, but your ears open today. Amen. Gather with us, will you, around the Word of God today. If you're not a Christian, we welcome you today. We want you to be a very special guest. Don't draw back from the Bible. It's not just pointing a finger at you because of our sins. It's pointing the finger toward Jesus Christ, who can forgive every sin, pardon you, seal you, and redeem you. Praise God. Just stay tuned today and let God wrap His arms around you and draw you close to Himself through His Son by His Spirit as we go to the Word of God today. We serve a God who is holy, too holy to look over sin. So He made a way for our sins to be forgiven. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. That's why the name of this broadcast is not Let's Talk About Politics, although I believe every Christian should be involved in the political process. We have a wonderful privilege in being able to elect leaders, and we need to select leaders as Christians who will not fly in the face of God with laws that are made. We pray today that we will be involved in the electoral process and that we will be involved in all of the social blessings that we can be to people, but we pray above everything else that we can be of spiritual use to God in these last closing days, that we might be available to Him, vessels of honor, meet, sanctified, set apart, cleansed, and set apart, and meet for the Master's use. So if you're a Christian today, we pray this broadcast and these particular teachings from the Word of God will allow the Holy Spirit to do a mighty work within each and every one of us and to flow to us and through us as God moves in this world, our world, in this very, very crucial time in which we are living. Amen. If you'd like to come to our website, type in THCOG. It will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. We are affiliated with Independent Assemblies of God International in good standing since 1974. Praise God. Well, we've been in this a long time, and God has proven Himself faithful over and over and over again. Jeremiah chapter 18, on the subject the potter and the clay. See, as God moves in the national life of His covenant people, ancient Israel, He reveals to us His heart and His ways, and how He deals with what is wrong in our life, and what He's willing to do to make those wrongs right before Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. There are no, in this lesson, one thing we discover quickly, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I can't help it, is that because of God's grace and mercy, there are no hopeless cases. He doesn't throw away marred, flawed vessels. He does not abandon us because we fail Him. He draws near to us to work a work in our behalf. Amen. So listen to this lesson. Let me read it once again from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as with this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so ye are in mine hand, saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thought today to understand who the potter is, to understand what his purpose is in our personal life, not only in the national life of his people, his covenant people in ancient Israel, but in your personal life and mine today. If the clay is marred, we're all in his hand in the sense that he is our creator. And he is the judge of all flesh and the God of all flesh. And because the clay is marred, there's a hard place in it where he's not able to work any work. He doesn't throw it away. He just removes that part of the clay that is not pliable, that is not surrendered, that is not submitted to his will and his purpose. He removes that. You know, the Bible said that he would take away the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of clay. Amen. Something that is submitted and surrendered unto him. God can make you anything that he wants to make you, but you must put everything, and I must put everything in his hands. So when we come to Jesus for salvation, we are surrendering ourselves to God. We are admitting that we've sinned against him. We're admitting, confessing that we can't change ourselves. But we're also exclaiming and proclaiming that God can change us. And his change, my friend, is from the inside out. The great change that he makes us initially, when we come to Christ as our Savior, he changes our heart. He takes away that hardened heart, so sin-hardened heart, that rebellious heart, and he gives us a heart of clay, soft and pliable. And so we go from the potter to the material today. Isaiah 64 and verse 8 said, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay. And thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thine hands." And the great issue here is to recognize that God is both our Father and our potter. He creates the clay and he crafts the clay. He both makes it and he molds it. And when we surrender to him in the initial act of trusting Christ as our Savior and salvation, and then we surrender unto him as Christians to the absolute lordship of Jesus Christ in our life, amen, then the potter has power over the clay. That's when he is free to go to work within us. He will not make us what we do not want to be. He will not violate our will. He will draw us to Christ. He won't push us to him. Amen. But he will save those who will come to him by faith, who will respond to his call in our life. And he will work a work in us, beginning with the changing of our heart. As it is written, the Bible said that he would, under this new covenant, he would take away the heart of stone. He would replace it with a heart of flesh, literally like clay, softened clay. That's the material that he's looking for. It's Romans 9 in verse 21, Paul writes, "Hath not the potter power over the clay?" If he's our Father, then he's our potter. And if he's our Father, we need to surrender to him that he might have his will and his purpose wrought within us. That surrendered life, that is the first step after you come to Jesus as your Savior. The Apostle Paul put it this way, amen, in the New Testament. He said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God." This is Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I'm beginning to read. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some translators, Bible scholars, translate this, your true spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world. The actual Greek rendering of this would be, don't be pressed into the world's mold. Don't let the world press you into its mold. You can see where we're either surrendered to God or we're allowing the world to influence us. We are being molded by God's will and purpose or by the enemy of our soul's will and purpose. Oh, what a message when God says, I want to work a work within you. Can't I do in your life what this potter is doing in that clay? Be not conformed or pressed into this world's mold, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the great call of God today, that we might become the kind of material, that soft, pliable clay, that He might work a work within us. Yes, He will begin to deal with those hardened areas of our heart and life that is not surrendered unto Him, but He will not throw away the vessel. He will just begin to take out that flaw if we'll surrender to Him. And when He does, then He is freed to work within us. The first thing I want to submit to you today, that the clay, you and I, must be available. God is willing, and He is able and capable to work a work in our hearts and then in our lives. But we must present our lives unto Him in consecration to become the material the Master seeks to use. I just read it from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you. The reason for this submission, this full surrender, is because of what Christ has done for us at the cross. The Apostle Paul said we need that understanding that we were bought with a price. And he said, and we are not our own. So why do we try to not give ourselves away fully to God? We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to the One who ransomed us. And we're so glad to belong to God. A Father like this, a potter like this, a wonderful Master like this, who loved us enough to give us His Son, and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to hang on the cross and stay on the cross. You know, this resurrection season, this Easter Sunday that we have just celebrated, this wonderful time of year when there's a focus on Jesus on the cross and Jesus raising from the dead and ascending into heaven, sitting down at the right hand of power and the right hand of the Father, till His enemies be made His footstool. This wonderful time when we understand the great love and the great grace and the great power that has flowed toward every person on this planet. You know, the Bible said it's not His will that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. Today, if you're a Christian, you were bought with a price, and the price is very clear in Scripture. The Bible said we were not redeemed, ransomed literally, by silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. The precious blood of the lamb. That's what Paul is pointing to in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 when he said, I beseech you, in light of the mercies of God, all that He's done through His Son, Jesus Christ, to save you, and all that Christ has done, hanging on the cross, being beaten almost to death. Most people would have died of the shock of that beating that He received. But God caused Him, even with angelic assistance after He prayed in the garden, not to not feel that beating, but not to die before God's wrath was satisfied. God's righteous indignation against sin, His judgment against sin, He judged him, he that knew no sin, became sin, not sinful, but became counted as a sinner, and judged for all of us, that we might receive pardon and forgiveness. In light of that kind of mercy, that kind of love, that kind of grace, this heart of the Christian, of the believer, should melt before him. And if you are not a Christian, your heart should melt before him as well. There's a hard part of it, but there's enough of it left that God can draw you to Christ with. Amen. Hallelujah. Look what he's done for you and me. And when we surrender to him as the Lord of our life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, then God is free to work within us. Something happens in our mind. Something changes in our mind. See, we can't change ourselves, but we can, with God's help, change our mind. When we change our mind, God can change our life. And remember, friend, he works from the inside out. So number one, the clay must be available. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And the clay then must be softened. A potter can do nothing with hard clay. It must be softened with water and tread upon with the feet. In Jeremiah's day, in Isaiah 41:25, it said, "The potter treadeth the clay." Treadeth the clay. Literally, he kneads it like you would dough. He adds water and he treads it to get it ready, amen, to be shaped into that he wants it to be. He crushes it before he begins to fashion it, not to destroy it, but to prepare it to be made into a vessel of honor. Today you may be going through a trial that is nothing less than the softening process, preparing you, amen, for God to work a great, wonderful work within, from the inside out. You know, the scriptures say in the New Covenant, it is God, this great creator, this great, wonderful, knowledgeable, filled with wisdom, creative God that created the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. This potter that is so powerful and yet so in love with you and me. He said it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You can see the potter image in the New Covenant, in the New Testament believer. You can see the potter wanting to work to remove the hard part of our life that is unsurrendered and bring us to that place before him that he can work. Don't be afraid that he's going to ask more of you than you can give. He knows you better than you know you. And the Apostle Paul didn't say, "I can do all things because of my great faith and because of my great anointing and my great revelations." He said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And he made it very clear on every occasion that it's because of Jesus and his work within him that he was whatever he had become. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is a great potter today, and he's looking for clay that is available to him and clay that he can soften and prepare to work a work within. If you're going through a trial today, you know, the Bible said that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. There is suffering in the Christian walk, and it is in a very distinct way. It is suffering in the flesh. It's not having our way so that we can discover and obey his will. I want to say that again. It's not the devil triumphing. It's not life trampling on us. It's not God, amen, stepping on us, amen. Listen, friend, I want you to know that what it is, when it says if we would be his follower, we're talking about becoming that kind of an individual that God can work in. It starts with self-denial, and it doesn't mean to deny, become some kind of fatalistic long-faced Christian that doesn't have any enjoyment in God or life. It means that we don't let our will supersede His will in our life. We desire, surrender to, and seek out the will of God. Deny yourself. If any man would be my follower, my disciple, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. You know, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1 says it this way. As we talk about the softening of the clay, the preparation of the clay so God can use it. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who made of himself no reputation, and though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, he humbled himself. He took on himself the form of a servant and was obedient even to the death of the cross. Isn't that beautiful? Listen, that, and the purpose of this kind of mindset that was in Jesus first. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he stayed on the cross. That's why the Lord has exalted him and given him the position and place that he now holds before God and over all mankind. Listen very carefully. The Bible said that you no longer live your life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. Amen. That we no longer live our life. For he that suffered in the flesh, not getting our way, but surrendering to his will. He that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, as you read down, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who made of himself no reputation, though he thought it not dishonorable, disrespectful, because he was God the Son. He was God the day he was born. He was with God from the beginning. He's the second person of the Godhead, but he made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. And it says, for he that is suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, if you will bow before the Lord today as a Christian and say, Lord, I want you to be the absolute master of my life. If there's a part of me that is not surrendered, I pray you will help me to deal with that, that I might be clay in your hand. Are you not the potter? Are we not the clay? Praise God. Amen. I know I have been through things to help me to see and to surrender and to get that part of my life that was unsurrendered into the position that I could hear and heed the voice of God, that I could be a son of God that is led by the Spirit of God and not pushed, influenced, coerced by the world, pressed into its mold, but shaped by the Master's loving hands. I'll tell you, when he removes the flaw, it is not to hurt the clay. If he puts his finger today on a sin in your life and mine that is hindering us, that is hindering him from working in us and through us, it's not to condemn us, accuse us, or hurt us. He wants us to come into cooperation with him. Hallelujah. Through repentance, surrender, and he will not violate our will. That's why Paul said, I want your heart to melt when you think of what God has done when he gave his son for you, what Christ has done when he went to the cross for you. And as you surrender your will and your heart to him, he will work a mighty work within you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. I told our congregation recently that, you know, I use the illustration of sandpaper, that when you start with a project and you take the real rough sandpaper to begin with and you graduate it down to the finished product as you sand it to that very smooth, just ready for the varnish or the stain or whatever. And, you know, I would like to think, after all of these years preaching and all these years surrendering, as best I know how, that God has graduated me down to that very fine sandpaper. But, you know, trials will come that let me know that there's still rough edges on this preacher man, this Christian man. But a loving God works through every test, every trial, all things. The Bible said it. Romans 8 and verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. And what is His purpose? Verse 29, everything's working and moving from into that purpose of God in every Christian life, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. To be conformed. There's that word about the clay and the mold and the potter again, the influence in our life that we allow, that we permit, that we surrender to. Amen. Be conformed to the image of His Son. Ah, in every one of our lives, He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2, be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love, even as Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants us to follow Him like His Son followed Him. As His sons that He brought into His family, into the royal family, He wants us to have the mind of Jesus Christ, and not to draw back from the potter's hand, but to draw near, to allow Him to touch us, allow Him to deal with what is wrong within us. Am I talking about becoming perfect? No, friend. We won't have that until we stand in heaven. When mortal puts on immortality, corruption also puts on incorruption. And we won't need this work done. It will be complete and consummated in heaven. But right here, we're on the potter's wheel. Some of you are listening today, you're on the potter's wheel and you're spinning around so fast, you don't know what in the world God is up to. Well, just stay on the potter's wheel. Stay surrendered. Keep your faith in Him. Everything that touches your life, He submits it to His eternal will and purpose. And He's able to bring good. If you see becoming more like Jesus, good, like He sees it, He's able to make it all work together to bring good in our life. That good and acceptable will of God is being wrought as we allow Him to work within our life, the work that He... Oh, there's so much to say here today, and our time is getting away from us. But friend, I want to say first and foremost today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the first step is becoming available to God. Don't run from Him. Run to Him today. Confess your sins. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. And what you can't do in yourself, God can do in you as you bow before Him in full surrender. And today, if you're a Christian, and you're just, you know, just go to church, come home, nothing really changing in your life. No adventure in the Holy Spirit, nothing that shows that God is at work. Maybe you even question His love because of your circumstance right now. I just pray that you will surrender. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Oh, just come and rest before Him today. Put your family in His hands. Put your life in His hands. Put your future in His hands. Put your fears in His hands. Put everything in His hands right where you are right now. And those loving hands that took the nail prints for you, hands that loved you that much, will go to work to take out the flaws and fashion the vessel. And everything that the enemy meant for evil, God will subdue it, subvert it to His own will and purpose. Ah, friend, today, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, our time is gone. Would you please come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.